Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are here again on our weekly hourly phone conference. I pray that all is well and that your joy in the Lord has made you strong and keeps you grounded in your journey and in your faith, building you up. So we thank you for availing yourself to this time of preparation, of learning protocol and procedure, and getting instruction into the journey of your elevation. So we do thank you for lending your time to us, and we want to start our gathering off with Elder Sherita bringing us updated information of what we are to expect. Elder Sherita? Okay. The phones are all on speaker. look at where we are in our journey. Elder Sherita always provides such a very in-depth preview and concise information for what you should be doing with the call and with the different numbers to call in if you're having any trouble. And I pray that now that we started a little earlier, we are not. So we do want to encourage you to always keep up with the emails that you get from Elder Sherita, because that's how you're going to know what your assignment may be for this current class. Elder Sherita. Okay. Elder Sherita, I must have missed the text. I do apologize. Not a problem. Not a problem. And so we do want to know that you to know that your meeting today is going to be impacted by the presenters in our One Another Accountability Partner study with candidate Dr. Carter Thomas and his accountability partner, Pastor Joseph Bivens. They're going to bring the presentation on the characteristics of accountability partner, and that characteristic is one of joyful and prayerfulness. The scripture is coming out of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16 through 18. And then we will also have our garment presentation by our own Apostle Geoffrey Cooks. I do trust that you were you have studied the insert that was sent to you about your garment training, so that any questions you may have, you can ask him as he unfolds the history as well as the importance of our garments and what they look like based on the office that you're being elevated into. And then we want to be sure that we receive the encouragement of our pastoral care of AEN, who is walking alongside of you, praying for you as a unit and encouraging you to stay current in your different phases of requirement so that you do not get behind. All of phase one requirements should be turned in, and I thank everyone for taking the time to do that and to do that very efficiently and very inspirationally. It was very inspirational reading your conversion statements, your mission, and your vision statements. And so we do encourage those that have not done it to this point to definitely get that in to me before Sunday. And then at the beginning of phase two, we're processing in that phase. We're moving forward in phase two, which leads us to phase two. What ministry have you been called, has God called you to? Define this calling based on scriptural and spiritual qualifications, and refer to your gift assessment at when you're doing this. So if you're gifted in the Office of Helps and Administrative and you're called to, you're being elevated into an elder, you can get an idea of spiritually and scripturally speaking what that would look like. Identify and write a review of all the scriptures that you have been studying as it relates to the office of your elevation, so that you have a good biblical foundation of the place that God is placing you in. And then how will your ministry look? That's the who, what, and how your call is going to be presented to the world. That's your mission. What is it going to look like? Use your mission statement to help you define that aspect of the phase two. And after phase two, you're going to go into phase three, which is going to be the heavy hitting stuff. We do want everybody to be there so that you're not trying to catch up when you get the more demanding requirements to be fulfilled. And so we want to take time out right now to ask body if you're struggling with it or you're confused by it or you need some information as it relates to it. I and the committee is here to assist you. You may ask questions now. You may ask questions now. If you reviewed your information schedule for what is due and you haven't done something because you may be kind of stuck, then this is the time to inquire.
I'm sorry, Vera.
This is Evangelist Davina. I want to know if anyone else hears that clicking sound.
Yes, I hear it.
Yes, I hear it. I hear it.
Yes, I hear it too.
Because when I first got on, it wasn't present. I don't know what it is. Okay.
And the only thing I can tell you is everybody put their phone on mute until you're ready to talk. And when you're ready to talk, take it off mute, and then it should be okay. Or it won't be. Okay. All right.
This is Evangelist Vera. I had a question. I wanted a little clarity on the mission statement and the vision statement. I understand that they're supposed to go hand in hand, but I'm still a little clarity on it for me.
Okay. All right. Is Ashley the vet on the line? She is our vision and mission expert here. Or is Apostle Hooks on the line? All right. Well, we want to,
what is your head, obviously? How you doing, this prophet? Hey, so what's your question exactly? Can you give more clarity to your question about what are you asking? Can you do that one more time for me, Evangelist Vera? Then maybe we could kind of help you. What are you stuck at? You're stuck somewhere. So what are you stuck at?
Stuck with both of them. Just the whole thing, I've never had to really do a mission or a vision statement. So I'm just I'm grasping at straws just to get started. I understand the faith statement. I understand the conversion statement. Got that. But when it comes down to the vision statement and the mission statement, I know that it's got to, the scripture has to, scriptural based as to what you feel that God is calling you to. But I guess it's my problem is putting it into words.
Okay, so the mission statement is almost the what, and the vision statement is the how.
Okay.
So your mission statement is, bam, this is what we're doing. And the vision statement usually connects on how you're going to do that. So the mission statement defines, you know, kind of what you are currently doing.
Okay.
Your mission is your how. You know, or and your vision is your why. So you should be able to tell your, you know, vision statement in one sentence, and your mission statement is going to connect you, you know, how that's going to do that. Is that correct, Overseer?
Hello, did I get lost?
Okay, Prophet, so in other words, like in business, you have your mission and what you're doing and then your vision is how you're going to do it. So it's the same way in the putting it in for what we're doing right now with this mission statement and vision statement, correct?
Yeah.
I'm going to read you an example of one from the past. So then you can kind of see how people put their heart on the paper. They define the word.
Okay.
It says their ministry mission was to minister salvation, healing, and deliverance to the body of Christ through the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of God, impregnating with the mandate to minister to the downtrodden, this is your who, the desperate, and the distressed. The question was asked in John, this is their support scripture, 5:6, wilt thou be made whole? To this end, we stand as a voice of restoration. It is our conviction Jesus came to completely replenish all that the lies of the enemy has stolen. Now, that was her vision. Oh, that was her mission. I'm sorry. That was her mission. This is how she planned to do it. To impart wisdom and restoration through teaching, to accurately and demonstrably, in other words, to demonstrate the ministry of salvation, healing, and deliverance, so that chains were broken, to stir up and activate the gifts of the Spirit, to minister life to the downtrodden, to organize, motivate, and inspire individuals to develop, to prepare, purify, and perfect saints through teaching, to empower willing and anointed vessels to become laborers in the harvest, to empower prophetic intercessors to consistently and collectively intercede on behalf of others. So this was a teaching aspect. This was someone that was called to the office of teaching. This is the support they have for it, and they list scriptures throughout. And so it's really, what is your heart? Your heart, what heart has God given you? What burden or what burning, not necessarily a burden, but what burning is in your spirit for man? And for who? Okay, does that kind of give you a little...
That gave me a whole lot. Thank you so much. A whole lot.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. Thank you. These are good questions that you should ask, and we do want to be able to give you some insight. But sometimes you're at a brick wall because you just don't know. So you don't know, ask. We will try to have periodically examples that have been turned in the past of these various things that we're asking you to do to kind of give you a little springboard from it. Amen? Anybody else? Thank you so much, Prophet.
You're welcome.
Amen. So since we do have the ambassadorial prophet on the line, and I'm not sure if our Apostle Hooks is on the line yet, but you can bring us that insight from their prophetic words. I think we had looked at one scripture. He walked us through one of the scriptures, the first scripture of Joel. And so when we were at the scripture of Genesis, 48, 12 through 18, 19.
Okay, well, good evening, everyone. Pray that everyone is doing well. I know you're blessed and is excited about what God is doing during this hour.
Your voice on this action, Lord.
Continue, Prophet.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
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 Okay. Am I on? Can you hear me? All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes,
yes.
Yes.
All right. Good evening. Pray that all is well with everyone. Again, it's always exciting to be a part of your journey and your process. Just want to continue to encourage you as you are moving forward, that it's all good. It's all in the hand of the Lord. He had already predestined and ordained this day. So you just relax and continue to enjoy and embrace the journey that God has for you individually and collectively. And again, we are excited to play a part in your process and to see where the Lord is taking you. We pray that you are meditating on the 2020 prophetic word, and you are allowing, you are soaking it in and allowing your life to be transformed according to the declaration that is happening over you. As we said one time before, we are excited for you, and we excited about you. Got, I feel like you all have such a big journey, such a big responsibility with everything that's going on, even with the state of this world. So I'm excited about what's going to come out of you as a result, as the Lord has declared that you all were these trailblazers. And you were carrying this double ministry inside of you, and that God was raising you up so that others can come out of their grave. And so that is something to be so excited about, in spite of you may feeling like being in a grave yourself. I'm excited that God has strategically placed inside of you both the rain and the former rain. And so we did talk about that particular passage of scripture in Joel, and excited that God has given this reset button on all of our lives. And then he's raising up individuals like yourself that's going to be impregnated with such change, with such newness, that will really lead our nation and others who are connected to the best part of this decade. Amen. In spite of what the beginning of this decade looks like, we do understand God, and God always, according to scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, have a thought that is a good thought, and that will lead to an expected end. And so I'm excited about the expected end and not moved by the initial beginning. So one of your other pastor's scripture was Genesis 48, verses 12 through 19. And this scripture is just what I love so much about this scripture. It's almost like this New Year's Eve scripture. It's really the end of an era, but it's really the beginning of a thing. And so Genesis 48 is just about this era where Jacob's life is about to end, but Joseph's life is just now beginning. Part of the dreamer's dream, we've always looked at it to come to pass through the lens of him being raised out of the palace, raised out of the pit into the palace. But Genesis 48 is also a glimpse of Joseph's dream coming to pass, because now the blessing is about to fall, and a continuous of what God had told Joseph in the beginning about his coat of many colors. And so it's almost, like I said, this New Year's Eve kind of scripture. It's the end of an era, but the beginning of something great and awesome. And it teaches us that what ended up happening was that as Jacob, Israel, was parting to leave and die, Joseph knew that it was important for his sons to be blessed. And so it reads in Genesis 48, really starting at verse 11, it says, "I didn't know if I would ever see your face again, but now God has given me more than I hoped. He has let me see your children too." And so that is part of Jacob's declaration. And so the Bible says, then Joseph moved the boys aside. They had been at his father's knees, and he bowed down low with face-to-face ground. Then Joseph took his sons and brought them near to his father. He took his younger son, Ephraim, in his right hand and put him to the left hand of Israel. And he took Manasseh, his left hand, and put him to the right hand of Israel. And then verse 14 says, but Israel stretched out his hands, and he crossed his arm, laying his right hand on the head of Ephraim, the younger, and the left hand on the head of Manasseh, the firstborn, and he spoke these blessings over Joseph. May the God before whom my ancestors Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has my shepherd all of my life and still to this day, the messenger who has rescued from all harm, bless these boys and let my name be perpetrated through them, as well as the name of my ancestors, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a great multitude of people throughout the world. And when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was troubled. And so he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh. No, father, since the one is the firstborn, put your hand on his head. But Israel refused. He said, I know, my son, I know. Manasseh will also become a people, and he will be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his children will give rise to many nations. And so we talked about this being this strategic year of a crossover blessing and understanding how God was blessing our latter days and really making our latter days greater than our former years, and embracing the prophetic concept that God is not making a mistake. And so for some of you, you may feel like you were supposed to do this a long time ago, or why you're doing this now. It's because this really is the strategic time. This is the season where, according to the scripture, you have bowed down low. You have allowed your face to be to the ground. You are at place of surrender. And no matter what it looks like, no matter the strategic plan of Joseph to put the hand here and to put the hand here, Israel crossed. And so we really wanted you to just prophetically embrace how God has just crossed your seasons, how he has shifted your lives, shifted your timing. And he is decreeing and declaring this blessing over you. And even though your latter, your former may have been great and is great, it has no comparison to the great that's coming. The latter, the younger years that are ahead of you and what God wants to do inside of you. And so the scripture, if you read the scripture, you know a little bit about it. They said that, you know, Jacob or Israel's eyes was dimmed, but his vision wasn't. And so he knew the vision of God, and the vision was for this strategic blessing to happen. And God and Israel knew the plan and the purpose of God. And so we do encourage you to continue to dig into Genesis 48, verse 12 through 19. See yourself, see your process in that scripture. See what God had did, what has happened in your life to get you to this place so that you can walk in this kind of blessing and walk in it strategically, knowing that God is in full control. One of my famous lines is, God never has a plan B. He doesn't have to go back to a drawing board, but everything that is needed everything that has to happen right now, it's already in divine alignment according to God's plan and purpose for your life. And so I'm excited about where you're going. Celebrate where you've been and look forward to the places that God is taking you, and really embrace this journey, really embrace this time that God is pouring out inside of you. Understand the mandate and the mission that's on your life. Know your profile for this season and walk in it and enjoy all that God has for you and all that's going to happen for you as you continue to maturate through this process, as you walk into the prophetic blessing that's declared on your life, that God is strategically care. God has strategic, the mantles are being released over you as you carry out the strategic blessings of God. You are the crossover class, changing the latter years and the former years. And so I'm excited about the newness that's in you and that you will bring forth for others to come. So God bless you. We love you all, and we are here for you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Prophet. And as he was sharing with you, and I'm reviewing the different ones that are a part of this process, I do want to encourage you, because often we don't see ourselves as a Joseph. We may not have received the vision that Joseph had that encouraged him no matter what his situation was. But we also want to realize that God had a plan. So no matter where we are or where we think we are, sometimes we think, somebody else should have had this, or this was, you know, for my grandparents or my parents or or someone else, but not for me. And this is saying, no, God has put his hand on you. And even when you don't understand it, you can't really see it, you have to believe and trust that it's his hand on you, and because of that, he will perfect those things concerning you. Because so often I hear people say, no, you know, I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't know. And oftentimes we're not physically ready, but God knows that spiritually we're ready to be born. And this is what he brings out, you know, and gives us this this prophetic word to encourage us. So we want to make sure that we see different aspects of this scripture, not just as one that, because Joseph known all his life that he was special, but a lot of us just didn't feel all our lives that we were special. We knew we were blessed, but we did not attribute that sort of thing to our own lives. And so when someone, God laid it upon a leader to see that in you, and that leader went out and put his hand on you, that was God's hand through the leader, calling you into this new place and this new inheritance. So we do want to thank Prophet. The prophetic words are always, they're always very, very foundational in this process. You really do have to study them, meditate on them, and let God give you the perception that you need for them. Okay, so now we want to turn the remaining next 10, 15 minutes. We'll start with Elder Deborah, who will give the instructions for our presenters today, as well as give us the presenters that are coming next week. Elder Deborah?
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Just to remind you of the format for these Thursday evening report outs. Today is April 2nd. The characteristic is joyful and prayerful. The scripture reference is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. The candidate will be R. Carter Thomas, and the accountability partner is Pastor Bibbins. The format, the accountability partner will briefly introduce the candidate and the scripture text. 1 minute or two. Overseer, you can let me know if those times, are working based on, you know, contextually tonight. And then the candidate will share insights and show the application of the characteristics as it relates to accountability. So we want you to share with us from the lens of or perspective of accountability. So if Pastor Bibbins, let me give you next week, excuse me. Next week, April 9th, the characteristic is surrender to the process. Surrender to the process. The scripture is Philippians 4, verses 5 through 7. The candidate is Lynette Harris, and the accountability is Parker. So the candidate we want you to share, and Mr. Carter, you have the floor. Or Pastor Bibbins to come first.
Amen. God bless you and kingdom blessings on this beautiful Thursday evening. We give God glory for what he has done, what he continues to do. My candidate is Dr. Carter Thomas, an anointed man of God, a man of God of great talents and gifts. What I've seen and heard from him, I see a lot of the great prophetic anointing upon him. He is a man of God that is a clinical social counselor. That's the ministry that he has with Good Company Christian Counseling. He's been doing that for 9 years, and he's been very successful at that. And one of the things that in my conversations with him, where his anointing speaks, is he wants to help the brokenhearted. You know, he's a man of God that loves to counsel God's people and to be a blessing. And just in the conversations I've had with him, he's been a blessing to me as well. And his elevation is going to be to elder, so we give God glory for that. And not to take any more time away, the scripture is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, and he will expound on that scripture. And and I present him over to you, Dr. Carter Thomas. You can take the floor. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I am going to check to see if, because of the background, okay, Dr. Thomas, you're live and on the air. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, again, the scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. And it says, I'm reading out the King James Version. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So again, I'm thankful that I have scripture to go from, and I'm thankful again to have an accountability partner that I speak to on a regular basis. So when we look at the characteristics of this accountability partner, as far as even being joyful, I looked up the definition of joyful, and it says feeling, expressing, or causing great pleasure and happiness. So when I look at it and rejoicing evermore, when I'm talking to this man of God, it gives me a chance to feel good about this process. You know, I take great pleasure in having conversations with him because I know he's helping me to get somewhere. You know, I have the success that I have in business and even in marriage. I have it because I have somebody that I can talk to, somebody that's holding me accountable for what I'm doing in business as well as in my marriage, you know. So to have this man of God there, it's causing me great pleasure to know that this man care about me. He asked about my family. One incident in particular, he had called me right after my daughter and you know, my son-in-law and the family had just been in an apartment fire. I mean, on the day of the apartment fire, he called me. And, you know, he was able to pray with me. After I told him what was going on, he just immediately went into prayer. And again, that brought me great pleasure, you know, and it was it was good to me, you know, it took my spirits up for the simple fact that I was already going through a lot. That here it is, I'm here in Wasion, close to Toledo for those who don't know Wasion. Then my daughter is all the way in Cleveland, right? So we're still, it was, I mean, everything was still unfolding that day when he actually called me and we prayed and we talked. And again, it brought me great pleasure, and it was, and my spirits was high after him praying for me and even just talking to him. So that's one of the things when I think about as far as joyful and having accountability partners is just having somebody that's going to actually lift you up, you know, when you're not at your best, you know. And we have those days and those moments even. And so to have somebody there that you can talk to help lift you up is always encouraging. So I appreciate him for that most definitely in the times that we have spoken. So that's one of the characteristics when I think about as far as, again, accountability is somebody who, again, who brings something to you, helps you, who's also lighthearted. That's another word for joyful, is being lighthearted. You know, and he has a good spirit, you know, and he's in high spirits when I talk to him. So that's good. The other word we had was, you know, being prayerful, you know. And, again, I just told you as far as he prayed for me. I told him what was going on, and he prayed. So, again, one of the definitions as far as prayer being an action word, adjective, as well as it's an action or an event characterized by or expression of prayer. You know, it also is talking about being thinking about somebody, you know, being introspective, you know. And so when I told him what was going on, he didn't hesitate to pray. You know, he went immediately into prayer, you know. And then he talked to me, and, you know, so he gave me, so he was able to give me some godly counsel after being prayerful for me, you know. And, you know, even when we talk weekly, it's the same thing, you know, we're always praying, you know. So to have that, it's so refreshing to have somebody that's there, again, to help you in your process, but you know that this person is not just talking to you and giving you instructions, but they're putting the spiritual aspect on it and just praying for you, taking your concerns, your cares to God, you know, going to the throne room with you, you know. I've been hearing this scripture where, you know, since a lot of churches are closed, and I've been hearing people talk about, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, you know. I've been hearing that over and over again where people have been saying that scripture is going to take hold even greater when we're talking about let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm saying that when I'm talking about somebody taking you to a prayer room. You know, I could go to the prayer room by myself. You know, I could pray. You know, I do pray a lot by myself. But I'm saying when somebody else is there praying with you and praying for you, it definitely is different. And it makes a difference. You know, the scripture says that two is better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. And so when I think about this accountability and the characteristics of the accountability partner and what this young man has been doing in my life, I'm calling him young man. I know how old he is. He told me how old he is. He's still younger than me. So he's younger than me, so I'll call him a young man. So, but I'm saying, just to hear him pray for me and pray with me, it does something for me, right? And so the Bible is encouraging us in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. You know, it's like to never stop praying, right? And so that is when I'm thinking about where we're going as candidates and where we're going as far as in our individual ministries, to have somebody there that is saying, I will not stop praying for you. And so that's things I think about when I think of being joyful and I think of being prayerful, and as far as having an accountability partner, you know, somebody who brings me great pleasure and somebody who's always willing to pray. So I hope that wasn't too long.
Amen. No, that's wonderful. Elder Deborah, did you have any questions?
Amen.
Anybody, do you have questions for me.
I didn't have any questions, but I did have a comment that I thought that was very thorough, very comprehensive when you first started off. I thought you were just going to do the lighter aspects, but as you started to share and got deeper and more transparent, being able to be joyful and prayerful even in an adverse situation, and you know, and share that bond. That, I mean, that's exactly what, you know, what we're looking for. You know, the application, a practical application. But then, you know, what does the scripture say, and what does it look like when it's lived out? So, thank you both. That was very good. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Anybody else have any questions or comments to that, our first presenting team?
Well, I would like to say, man, even congratulations for going first. You know, sometimes going first is the hardest. You get to see who, how other people do it. So blessings to the both of you all to be willing. Again, that's what you're about, being trailblazers, setting the stage and going first and sharing your heart and the light on your process. So wonderful job. Good job.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, and I know that I believe Metropolitan is on the line, and we talked last week about the office of an elder. And obviously, Dr. Carter is getting elevated to the office of an elder. And if you kind of look at your gift assessment, there's no gift for elder. And it was so, Dr. Carter, when he filled out his gift assessment, really made it very clear the office and that the Lord is placing him in. An elder of teaching, an elder of wisdom and knowledge, he has that gift. And that gift is a gift that should be released on a kingdom level, which is why this is where he's being elevated to at this time. And so a lot of times, you know, it's like we look for, it says I'm number two, so that's what I am. No, you really have to evaluate everything we learned last week about an elder. They lead. They do have that level of maturity. They've maturated. Their lives has manifested the calling that's on their life. They're not trying to work it out or come and find it or exercise it or grow it. It is there. He even shared the references of those that have been in the ministry with him. And so as a result, it only further verifies his position and his elevation. Now, his secondary gifting was under, and this is subordinate gift, not secondary, but subordinate. This is the gift that supports his gift, and that is prophecy, faith, and miracles. All three of these things are necessary to be a teacher, to be able to share wisdom and knowledge. You must have a prophetic heart and hear and gift. I believe prophets shared the fact that the office of prophecy and then the anointing of the prophet. Is that correct, prophet? Help me if I left something out or said it crooked. But you can see how these things are all come together to form, if you will, the profile of our Dr. Carter. So I thank you, Dr. Carter. Very, very well done and presented, and you become, as an elder, you are an example for people to follow, people to look up to see this is how this process should go. This is how you should glean the power of your accountability partner. So all of those things are being manifested in, as prophet said, in your trailblazing of the presentation. You and Pastor Bivens has set the standard high. And the reason it is done like that in the kingdom is so we'll all reach up. We won't be satisfied to be where we were, but we will reach to where God would have us to be. And that's a blessing. And you're not put in this position to make you look bad. You're put in this position so that you can surrender to God and allow him to elevate you to where he would have you to go. Amen. So we thank you all. We have we do have the Metropolitan on the line that you want to share, Metropolitan?
No, everything tonight has been a blessing. I was so happy to hear the prophetic word and just the direction that everything is. You know, I love the Joseph story, and so to hear how Joseph is telling, you know, the father, look, you're doing it wrong. You know, I'm sitting up there getting rebuked in the seat, and so it's like, nah, you're supposed to put the forgive me. It just brought me so much joy. Cause I could see myself doing that right away. Like, come on, you. So look, it's just a blessing, man. I just thank God for this, and then to hear the other one, the crossover blessing, as well as the meaning of that, as well as just remember what God told me 4 years ago, when the turn of the events was happening, even with the presidency, he was like, go in the house. And I was like, all right, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to go in there. And to keep hearing the theme manifest itself now is just beautiful to hear and be a part of that. So I'm just so honored once again just to be online, to listen to all this wonderful kingdom building and principles, because it's enriching my life even now.
Well, thank you so much, Metropolitan. We do have Apostle KP on the line. I had to mute a couple of things because we were having those sounds. So I pray I didn't mute Apostle KP. Sorry. So, Apostle.
Amen. Hello? Okay, there I am. I heard unmuted.
Yes.
Amen. I definitely am encouraged on tonight hearing from everyone, but I definitely wanted to give kudos to Apostle Carter. I'm sorry if Prophet Carter, and also his accountability partner, because of the connectedness that I could hear when they were speaking. And my prayer is that all of you are having that type of a relationship with your accountability partner, not looking at them as someone who's there to watch you or share a few, but someone who's there to undergird and walk alongside you. And you could hear the unity when they were speaking. And so my prayer for each of you is that you're finding that to be so with your accountability partners, that you're open with them, that you're sharing with them so that they can help you walk through this process and guard you in the spirit realm. Amen. And so I just wanted to say, you know, I appreciated hearing them talk, appreciated what I heard, the connectedness. And so I'm really, really praying that that's what each of you are finding in your walk. I was also encouraged with the scriptural reference on tonight, because it's one that I have been speaking about to you on Facebook Live. Not sure how many of you have connected with us on Facebook Live, but was just trying to bring encouraging words to the AEN pastoral care. And one of the scriptures that we gave was from Philippians 6, where it talks about being anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so also this past week, we talked about writing the vision and making it plain, and we're going to elaborate a little bit more on that on tomorrow. But we are coming to you Facebook Live Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 2:00 Central Standard Time. So we pray that you are joining in with us, and we pray that it will bring encouragement to you during this time. Blessings to each of you.
Thank you so much, Papa. We so appreciate you. Praise God. Are there any more questions? prayerfully, you did look over your garment training. Our garment teacher will be with us next week, possibly with our own video. He is definitely working on it. But as you read it, did you have any questions? Anything that just sounded like, wow, what is that? What am I supposed to wear? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get these things? Any questions? A lot of you have gone through the process before, and so as a result, you may have garment pieces that you can no longer use because the place you're being elevated to doesn't require that necessarily that part of your garment. We do encourage you to turn it in to the network because then it could become a source of garments for those that are going through the process that that are in need of that sort of thing. So we do encourage you, whether you no longer need the particular item or God has blessed you and it doesn't fit anymore, it's too big for you, and you want to new up, God bless you, then we do encourage you to turn it in and share with someone else. That always becomes a great, great blessing. And that's true with your tassock or your collars, your shirts, your tippet, and that sort of thing. Now, one of the things that you're going to believe, yes, I believe that you received was the placement of your different patches on your tippet. And the different things that go in different places depending on what they represent in your ministry life. And so we're really going to go into a lot of detail of that. A lot of you may not have any of those patches, and if you desire to have them, there are those that are available for the AEN, definitely. There are those that are available, possible if you turn in the information you want, for CCTI, for Labors for Christ Ministries, Labors Christ Word Life Center, and the different organizations that are part of the ministry, the Unleash Your Fire, different areas, Reconstruction, Great Cathedral, different ones of the organization. If you are a part of that ministry, in other words, you support, you are a partner to that ministry, then you definitely can represent it on your ticket. And so you may, the Prosperous Journey, that's a book that one of our ministry partners have written, and if you read the book and you desire that particular crest, then these are things that you can get. You would just need to let us know very quickly that that's what you want, because some of them are in great demand, and it's not that many left. So if we have a great demand for them, we might be able to order more. But in this environment, that's going to be highly unlikely. And so first come, first serve, that's what you desire to have placed on your tippet. You do need to let the ministry know. The cost is generally approximately $25 per crest. Okay? Are there any more questions, concerns?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I had one question. I wanted to know what color should my cassock be.
Okay. Your cassock, all cassocks in the lower college are black.
What color is it?
Who am I speaking to?
It's Prophetess Yvonne.
Oh, Prophetess. Okay. Your meeting comes in a few minutes, and that's the upper college. The upper college has a variety of colors that they're going
okay.
to have to. Yeah. So yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were, you know, not in one of the lower colleges. But the fivefold, their colors are very, very different, and they are very symbolic. So
all right.
You will get, yes, you will get that information probably in about 10 minutes. You're going to
okay,
be on the
good.
Line? Okay. God bless you. Yes.
Thank
anybody
you.
Else? Anybody else? We do understand that when you get out there, you're going to see all kinds of plastics, all kinds. And we do just encourage you to make sure yours is a standardized one so that it will all flow. I think afterwards
Hope
you can go. Yes.
This is Evangelist Vera. As far as all, I know about the clergy shirt and the collar, but everything else is new to me. As far as from where I came from, we didn't do the cassocks or the cincher or any of this. So I'm kind of curious as to what does it mean, what does it symbolize?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And that's going to be an awesome study. That's what Apostle Hook is going to bring. And actually, if you look through some of your paperwork, it is definitely scriptural-based, and he's going to be very thorough in explaining why we do the items we do and what the symbolic meaning of them are. And each one is a representation of what's being placed upon us. And so
okay.
There are things that, like your collar, you know, the all of these things have a spiritual meaning to them. And it's really to remind us of having been chosen, having been sanctified and set aside, and what our responsibility is. The collar one is one that definitely rests with me heavily because I don't like wearing it. But it's an expression of the yoke of obedience. Put it on, I have to do it in obedience, and I have to understand that I am yoked to this discipline of obedience. It is symbolic of being a servant of righteousness and a slave to the Holy Lord. And it indicates I belong to the kingdom of God. And so I had to break that spirit of I don't want to wear it because what it symbolizes is what's in my heart. And so if, you know, sometimes you can say, well, that's my heart is there. Well, if nothing you're presenting looks like what's in your heart, it's questionable. But when you do these things symbolically, it doesn't make me holy, it doesn't make me a servant, it doesn't make me obedient. But it reminds me of that is the requirement that God has for those that he has laid hands on, those he has anointed and those he has set aside. So, you know, for me, like I say, that's that one item of the list of garments that the meaning of them is what brought freedom, really, to me, freedom to me to be able to express what was in my heart. So that's a very, very good question, both of them, the colors of the cassock and your colors are all black, that are in the lower collars. The lower collars are all black. So there will be alternatives that you can do as well, and we'll talk about that after we do the training. And so all of the items that are listed under your office of elevation are the items that we want you to be able to be in as you get your consecration, ordination, and elevation. Amen? Any more questions?
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else? I have another question. Oh, Overseer. I noticed that
yes.
For the prayer shawl in the office of evangelist, it says it's according to the ministry calling or gifting, the prayer shawl,
mm-hmm.
the color.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you kind of
okay.
have
you,
an idea?
You go,
what?
Well, when you go and you look for a prayer shawl, you're going to see a lot of different types of prayer shawl. I can just share with you one of the individuals that got their prayer shawl during a time when they were being elevated as a liturgical worshiper. Well, their prayer shawl was fire. That's the way it looked.
And so the prayer shawls are colored according to, and again, this is the revelation that God gives to you, but also they categorize a lot of the different prayer shawls with these kinds of determinations. And so you may want to check out, just go to any website and look at a whole list of prayer shawls, and you can see different ones, and then you can question three that may interest you, and then you can bring them to me, email, text them, and we can look at them, and we can determine, you know, what would be appropriate. Okay?
I see.
Thank you. You're welcome. And for a lot of the things, there's a color associated with some of the offices. There's a color that is associated with some of the offices, and the apostle will go over that, okay? And so if you want to do it as relates to that, you can. We took that off of, I believe, the sheet that you guys received because we didn't want it to confuse you, okay? But we will talk about that next week when the explanation can be given, because generally it's a cord that you wear. In fact, I think who has to have a cord? One of the officers have to have a cord. I don't have my glasses on right now. Cord. But one of them takes a cord, and that cord has to be a specific color, if that's what you're getting elevated into. Okay? Any more questions? Good question. All right, so we don't want to go too much into the other group's time, because they're having their training starting after hours. So I don't know if the prophet is still available, because I know he has to go to that as well. But we can have a...
All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for this day that you have made, that we can rejoice and be glad. Father, we thank you for everything that's been released over the phone line today. We thank you for Dr. Carter Thomas, who presented a powerful word. We thank you for everyone that shared. We thank you for the prophet. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that makes up this assembly. And, Father, we speak blessings right now upon us as we go into the next day, Lord. We thank you that no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. Every tongue of judgment will be condemned in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I release a blood covering of protection upon each and every person at the sound of my voice, that they will be blessed in the city and the field. Wherever they go, they will be protected by the blood. We declare and decree that even in the midst of the crisis, Christ still reigns. And we speak the blessings of the Lord that maketh us rich and added no sorrow. And we thank you, Lord, for your glory and your power that is upon us this day. It is in the mighty, majestic name of Jesus Christ we pray. And I seal the prayer. We rebuke all bad class and retaliation of the enemy. No weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
God bless
amen.
You. Good night.
Good night.
Now, Overseer, for college, there's another call? We have another class?
Yes, ma'am. There is a class for the those that are being consecrated. It's definitely for...
Is it the same number?
Is it the same number? It can't be because we're on this number, right?
Oh.
Let me look it up for you.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on for a minute and I can get that for you. Let's see here. We should have had... What's this thing? Okay, the number. Okay. Well, that's not the number. Okay. Um, Okay, the number is, you ready?
Yes.
So 605.
Let me say it again.
605.
605.
472.
472.
55.
55.
90.
90. And that starts at 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is the access code. The access code is 491.
491.
352 pound.
352 pound. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right.
Okay.